and thank you for tuning in to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. I am just so blessed to be here. I had a fantastic weekend. It has been so productive. God was just glorified every single day. And so today's weather is in D.C., 72 degrees and sunny. In Raleigh, North Carolina, 77 degrees and sunny. And in Detroit, Michigan, it's 59 degrees. Richmond, Virginia, 77. Jacksonville, Florida. Hey, Jacksonville, you are a whopping 88 degrees. So this is some good weather. I'm really enjoying the weather. I love the 70s and I love it in the 80s. But as I was stating, this weekend was so productive and so amazing. God had opened plenty doors this weekend, a lot of favor, and it went from one arena to another arena to another arena. And so what I mean by that is that the Friday night's event was Pastor Shirley Caesar, and it was a gospel event, and then the other event was not so much gospel, but it was a gospel mission. Come on, somebody. And then on Sunday, I was in another gospel environment on the radio station. But my point is that I had wrote in my face on my Facebook page, you know, that God is the author and the finisher, and he's, you know, the one that does it all in between. And so for me, it just really showed me just the direction that God has me going in and how he can trust me with so much territory. You know, a lot of you don't realize that I used to be an overseer over a ministry called Gospel Truth Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina, is where it was birthed. And the first thing that God had me to do was to go out to the streets and minister to the homeless and minister to the prostitutes, the drug dealers, drug addicts, and et cetera. And I got great joy out of doing that. And so therefore I was able to go out and touch the streets of the people and actually literally deal with them hands on. And so I was really, really grateful for that opportunity to do that, and never knowing that those seeds that I was sowing was actually birthing and branching out for something, a larger platform. And so, you know, any of you that have heard my testimony or read my book, you know, I used to, you know, be on drugs. I, you know, did prostitution. I was a stripper. I did all of those things. And I know what God has done for me in my life. And I know how he's changed and transformed me. But most importantly, you know, we as a church get so caught up in the transformation. It's either you are, you know, a sinner, or you are, you know, a Christian and clean. It's no in between. And we forget about we forget that God is with us from the beginning to the end. As soon as he calls out our name, as soon as our name is in the heavens, and before we're even conceived in our mother's womb, he has a plan for our life. His hands is on us. He created us. He spoke us into existence. And so he carries us until the promises of our name, what our name is connected to, manifest. And a lot of people don't understand that, because they get into religion and they start looking their nose down on people that are still going through their process. I know we use that word as a process in the church, and it's real cute, because, you know, it justifies the behavior of those that are believers, you know, when they still cussing folks out, or when they're still sleeping around, or when they're still getting high, or still drinking, or still clubbing, or whatever. We justify by saying they're going through a process because they're in church and we like them, or they're in a pew, or they're in a choir, or they're a worship leader, or they're a minister, or whatever, and we favor them that way, and we give excuses for that. And that's understandable, because we all are going through a process. But what about the process of those that haven't even made it to the church yet? What about those people that are going through the process that haven't made it to the choir yet? You know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you know, through every drug deal, every drug bust that I came across, every time I got pulled over by a cop, every time I had drugs in my house, every time I went out with a John, every time I, you know, stripped or whatever I did at the nightclubs traveling by myself, you know, God's grace was on my life. I could have been in jail. I could have been raped. I could have been dead. So it was a process for me. Now, that's God's grace. Let me explain to you what I was thinking, because I think we forget our thoughts, our emotions, and our heart's desire when we were sinners out there before we got into the church, or before we were able to quote a scripture, before we were able to have some revelation or understanding. Because I really don't like religion. I really have a problem with it. I never adapted to religion. And I'm just going to break some things down. And I'm setting this up because we have Nick and Caitlin that's going to be on with us shortly. And they're younger, and they have a message, and I want them to elaborate on their thoughts about what they feel like the church is lacking and needing. But I bring all that to say is that when a person is going through their process, my situation when I was out there is that I knew that God existed. I knew he existed. He showed me that he existed, but I didn't know him. And I didn't take the time to know him. And when I did take the time to get to know him, it was not in vain. Every time I would pray, every time I would talk to him and say, Lord, help me. I don't know why I'm in this situation. Every time I would say, I don't want to be like this anymore. Every time I would, you know, read the word and try to understand it, you know, because I was so hungry for change. We don't know the process of an individual. And as a church, we forget that even though we may not have gotten high or slept around and was a hoe or a player or a drug dealer or any of these things, and we might have been raised up in a two-family home or might not have never gotten in trouble and raised in church. I mean, but that's your story. You still got some issues too. And it was some times that you relied on your parents and you relied on your grandmother to pray for you. And you was probably out there gossiping and backstabbing people or doing whatever. And the reason why I say that is because we forget that there are people out here literally lost. They are hungry for change and they don't know how. And when they come to the church or when they talk to someone in ministry, we're judging them and not having compassion. We're telling them what they're doing is wrong with no solution, or telling them a solution, but not understanding that it's hard for them to get there. It took a long time for me to grasp that this my time was up. It took a long time for me to get to the place where God was like, okay, this is it. I mean, it was my third time. I got saved when I was 16. I backslid. I got serious with him again in my 20s. I backslid. I ended up losing everything. I mean, it was a complete drought. And I finally surrendered. And I mean, it was like one of those things, like I knew that it was his timing. It wasn't anything that I could do. It wasn't nothing that I can change. It wasn't like, if you know, you people say, you know, you got to change your way of thinking. You do have to exercise your muscles, but it's a process for somebody to even get to the place that they can actually give up and surrender everything. So what I'm asking for the church to do is to exemplify God's love. Not religiously, but really ask God to show you how to love on people. You know, really ask God to help you to get to see exactly what it is this person needs to hear from him. Not your thoughts, your opinion, not what was done to Mary last year and it worked for her, because everyone is individually made and God loves us individually, yet still at the same time corporately. And I'm going to go over some things with you like Jonah so you would know. So I say all that to say that even though I was at a church event, a gospel event on Friday, I was at a secular event and God had me praying over folks while I was standing there watching them live their life. I didn't go lay hands on nobody. I didn't go and, you know, stand and talk to nobody. And I didn't join in with them either. But yet he had me stand there on the same platform that the entertainment was being done. And I was praying in opposition to what was being was happening. And then the next day went on air and was ministering the gospel, you know, to listeners, you know, all over, you know, in Georgia. So my thing is that obedience is greater than sacrifice, and you don't know how God is going to use you and what way. And a lot of times the church condemns people for reaching out to those that are lost. If God is telling you to do something, you have to be obedient to do it. Now, this is not a ministry for everybody, and I'm not suggesting that. But what I am suggesting is that the religious shackles be broken, because God sent Jesus out into territories. He sent Jonah out to Nineveh. He sent him out to Nineveh, and Jonah ran from him, and God, got on a boat and caused all the ruckus on the boat, and the people was like, wait a minute, what's going on? We got to get rid of you, because who are you? And he told them, and they knew he was running from God, and then they felt bad because he said, throw me over the boat and the water be calm, because it came, a God had caused a big storm to come. And so they were like, they found out it was Jonah. And anyway, he was like, throw me overboard and the water be calm. And then they was feeling guilty because they didn't want to kill a man, so they can live. And so they were nervous, but they still threw him over. They prayed and asked God, can you please forgive us, because we don't want to kill a man. And so anyway, but God had no intentions of him being killed. He had provided a whale, and the whale got Jonah. And anyway, he finally got the message that he needed to go where the people were sinning, cussing, drinking, sexing, and all of that. He sent him there. And no, he didn't want to go, but God had already predestined and ordered his steps to go. And it's just like I was saying to a lot of us, we know what it's like to run away from God. We know when we're supposed to go and surrender. We know that. We know that it's coming closer, and we know it's coming closer. So how do we forget that this could be the same process for somebody else that's rapping, in the rap industry, or on these reality shows, cutting up, acting a fool, or all of these things? I mean, what about those people? Do we just leave them there and just act like, because what I don't understand about the body of Christ is such hypocrisy in it, because most of the people in the church ain't living right anyway. So I'm trying to figure out, what's the difference in if God sends you somewhere in the streets? And another thing about the streets and feeding the homeless and going out there talking to people on the street, that can become religious, because there's some people get puffed up by saying, well, I did this and I did that, but yet you're still disobedient if God tells you to go somewhere else. It's easy to go out in the street when people are hungry. You don't see them shooting up. You don't see them, turning tricks while they looking for food. So it's a safe environment. But if God is sending you to where the action is, I mean, I literally have been sent to the action where drug deals were taken, were stopped, because the drug dealer was like, man, I need prayer back up. Now, that might sound crazy. I could have been like, well, dang, why should I pray? But I didn't. That little seed that was planted in that kid and those drug dealers, and then even the drug addicts was asking for prayer. It became a God territory at that point. Everything was held up. And I'm telling you, it was so held up that a warlock came and was praying curses and praying against me and the ministry team, from our church. So I know then when I saw that, okay, the devil is mad, because this is God's thing and this is his territory. You always know when you're doing the right thing when the adversary come up against you. So I already knew that we was in good hands. God had already gave us the territory, and it was on and popping. It was another time that I was out in the street preaching, no microphone, no glamour squad, none of that. Just out there preaching with my voice in front of Bilo grocery store in the parking lot in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was a young girl that was smoking a blunt. She stopped me with a blunt in her hand and got saved. Threw the blunt out. See, that's the type of stuff. And see, I don't have a problem with going into strip clubs. I really want to go into strip clubs. I just haven't been led to go to the strip clubs. But I have gone to where the prostitutes have at the hotel where prostitution is going down. I remember a couple of girls was getting, the charged ladies was mad because one of the girls wanted to hear my testimony, wanted a book, and I gave them both a book. I told her I apologize for being on your territory, but I felt led to come and sow a seed and just say, hey, you know what? I've been there. I know what, I mean, I've never been in the streets prostitution, but I mean, any type of prostitution, exchange for money, exchange for a bill, exchange for a coat, exchange for a purse, it's all prostitution. It don't make no difference. It's all the same. It ain't a little gay, you gay. It ain't a little, you know, sin, it's a sinner. It ain't a little drink. I mean, it ain't no little nothing. Ain't no little lies a lie. So yeah, okay. So I went there and I talked to the lady, talked to them, and they, you know, people's lives are changed. And that's where my passion is. So I'm saying that the religious stuff got to break down. It's time out for that. Ain't nobody's getting saved. You know, nobody's lives are changing because we're so busy pretending we together and we not. And the reason why things are being held up is because our heart is not right in the church. We don't have a passion for people. We've given up. We've gotten hardened. We've gotten bitter. We've gotten resentful. We're unforgiving. That's why we're not seeing miracles. That's why we're not seeing signs. Jesus walked with the prostitutes, the drunkards, and the tax collectors. If you want a miracle to happen, you got to walk with Jesus. You got to walk with him. You got to walk like him and walk with him. So anyway, I done said enough. I set it up already for Nick and Kate, Caitlin. Nick and Caitlin, are you on now?
Hi.
Hi. I don't know if you can hear what I was saying, but were you able to listen to any of the show?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I
listened to it.
Okay, so you already know where we're going. So I just want to ask, and I'm going to ask you, Caitlin, first, and because I want to ask both of you the same question, but I'm going to address the lady first. Caitlin, how do you feel about the church, and what do you think that the church needs as a young? Because how Nick, Kate, and Nick, both of you are how old now?
I'm 13.
Okay,
I'm 19.
And 19. Okay, this is a great thing because this is the generation that we want to reach out to as well. Okay, so Caitlin, at 13, what is it that you feel like the church needs? What would you like to receive or see in the body of Christ?
I feel like maybe the church needs a little bit more. Like for the teenagers, I know like the priest could be like talking about everything and it's so inspirational, but I feel like the teenagers maybe it could have something that could draw more to them. Because I know I'll be sitting in church and then just being like, okay, that was good, but it wasn't that, not entertaining, but almost like
relatable.
The teenager could be, you know, yeah. There's no really dialogue.
Okay. And Nick, how do you feel being, you're an adult and, you know, teen adult, but still yet an adult. I mean, what is your intake on it?
I would like to see more, you know, what's the word? Be more genuine. Because as a child, I grew up in church. I went to church every day. I even went to Catholic school to learn how other people view God and how other people view Christ. But as I got older, I realized, like, all you people are sitting here praying to God, but you're still sleeping around with each other. You're still judging other people, but you say that you're living through Christ. And that's only in church. Only in church you're living through Christ. But outside of church, it's just you doing whatever. So I would just like to see more and more genuineness out of people.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. You know, that's the point, Nick and Kate, that I'm saying as far as the body of Christ. I understand that it's a process for people. You know, people don't change overnight. You know, there's layers to things. There is, you know, people get accustomed to a certain way. And stuff is just in their souls. You know, it could be generational. A lot of times people say, I did this and I don't even know why I keep doing this. I don't know why I keep doing this. And it reminds me of Paul when he says that, you know, I do the things that I don't want to do, and the things that I do want to do, I don't do. The sin is so in me. You know, who's going to deliver me? And I understand that. It's not an excuse, but I do get it. And I think a lot of people are still they're dealing with loneliness, so they sleep with people. And a lot of times it could be the point that women or men are getting with people that are not where they're at in their walk with God, and they think they're strong enough, but they're still dealing with loneliness and man-pleasing. And so when they get caught up with these people that are aggressive in their kissing or their affections, they get caught up in something, and that they don't want to do. And so they end up doing stuff that they don't really want to do, but they do it because they don't want to disappoint the person or make them mad or have them leave. Or, you know, they think that if they end up will be alone. And a lot of people, women, and especially in the church, they're afraid of not ever getting married. They figure if I don't do anything, nobody's going to want to be with me. Somebody else is going to give it to him and he's not going to want to be with me. And then they don't trust God and they haven't really come to that place where they really know him. You know what I'm saying? But even with all of that and the mercy and grace on the body of Christ in church, don't you guys think that it should be the same mercy and grace given to those that are in the entertainment industry or, you know, just those that are not living for God at all? Don't you think that it should be more mercy and grace for them too as well?
Yes, definitely.
Of course. You know, us trying to be in the industry, I always try to keep God close to me at all times. I've been in front of crowds where I've seen people wanting to sin or yearning to. But as I said, it's all in the person. If you believe that God is going to take you in the right way, it doesn't matter if you're in the entertainment business or not. You're still going to step in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So with you all being in the entertainment industry, and would, if God asked you all to, let's say, perform exactly the way you're performing, deliver your message, because you all have a message, and I want the listeners to know what that message is just in a second, so you have opportunity to tell them more about you. If you were asked, God asked you to say, you know, I want you to go into, what's in Myrtle Beach? Like a club atmosphere, and I want you to perform these songs in front of these people. Would y'all do it if God told you to do it?
Oh, no hesitation.
No hesitation. Would you perform at a festival that had rap artists like, you know, I don't know, just anybody, maybe some trap music players? I don't know. I don't know what.
Oh, yeah. We were in Florida over the, like, last year. We were in Florida, yeah. And we actually performed.
You performed? Who was on January. Who was on the roster? Who was there?
I'm not sure if any of them were, like, super known, but we definitely
did.
Yeah,
it was just, like, rappers.
I was about to, like, you had your standard trap artists. You did have some groups talking about God, but for the main part of it, It was about, like, hustling and whatnot. But that didn't stop us from, like, talking about what we were trying to.
Right, right. Caitlin, what were you saying?
No, yeah, I was kind of just saying what Nick was saying, just how, because our message was, you know, kind of about anti-bullying and believing in yourself and everything, but some of the music was just not about that.
Well, not about God, but you felt like you felt led to do it. You felt covered by God. You felt like if at least one person grabs hold to the message, that you felt like you did what you were supposed to do.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's what I believe that God is saying at this time. You know, I really believe that God is looking for a people that are, you know, not religious. That have a relationship with him, that are moving by his spirit. I'm so glad that his spirit came for me, because when I was doing wrong, you know what I'm saying? What would have happened if he never came, you know, to get me, you know what I mean? By his spirit. Yeah. I mean, even with people that weren't doing what I was doing, he sent them to come talk to me. You know what I mean? So I feel like he's breaking off the judgment and the judgment of the church, which is really opinions. And a lot of times people get caught up in voicing their opinions. And I think about Jose when God told him to marry a prostitute. Nick, you probably know this story about Jose marrying Gomer.
I've heard it in Bible study.
Yeah, and marrying a prostitute. And even God even told him after she went out and committed adultery and everything, he said, now go back and get your wife. Go back and forgive her. Go back and love her. Go back. So I just feel like, you know, just hearing it from three different age groups, you know, mine being the oldest, of course, and then, you know, and these vibrant, young people to be able to express what they feel like the church needs. So, in so many words, I know you said that you know that there is hypocrisy. I know, Caitlin, you said your say. What do you feel like God is using you to do, Caitlin, to bridge the gap between the secular industry, a world, and the gospel and the church? What do you feel like God is your mess? What is He using you to do?
I feel like because I'm technically, in the entertainment business, and every single time we'll go out or perform somewhere, it's just really good because God is on our shoulders, and we're really just almost listening to Him and just. He's sending us a message just to stay positive and always, stay almost on the right track, because we don't want to go off of that. But, yeah.
Okay, Nick, what do you feel like your message is to bring the bridge the gap between the secular world and, the world and the church?
I think my purpose is really to show people my age that the church isn't as uptight as people my age perceive it to be. Most churches that you go to, like I said, are super judgmental. But what I try to do when I talk amongst my friends is not show them the church, but show them God Himself.
Yes.
Not always, you don't have to be in church to walk the righteous path. You can read the Bible on your own. You can pray on your own.
Yes.
Just as long as you're living right.
Yes, and I do believe that God will connect you, because I wasn't part of a church when He first started teaching me His word and training me how to hear from Him. I wasn't part of a church, and I started visiting where He led me, and it would confirm that I was hearing, from Him, but it wasn't like I needed to depend on the church. I think a lot of times people get dependent on the church and not dependent on God, and it's a major difference. Would you agree?
Most definitely.
Yeah, it's a major, major dependency. And that's where a lot of people get wounded and disappointed because, let's face it, like I said, everybody has something that God is dealing with us with. We might not see it. It might be behind closed doors. It's between you and God. But, there is something, because if we didn't have anything, we wouldn't need Him for anything. And so by Him being our light and our guide for every step, if He orders every step, we do. If we're prideful, that's an issue. If we're hard-headed and disobedient, that's an issue. If we keep saying that's not my ministry and you just, want to be hard-hearted and just don't want to do what God is telling you, that's disobedient and that's being prideful. So those are issues that God is dealing with folks with, even now in the church, outside of the sexing and the whatever partying or whatever else. And I just agree with you all. And I'm so glad you were able to come on and share. Caitlin and Nick, please tell the listeners, I don't know whichever one wants to tell us, you in a group together, right?
Yeah.
And what is it that you all do?
We're in an anti-bullying play called Save Music, Save Me.
Music Saved Me, uh-huh.
Yeah, Save Music, Save Me. It's produced by Adrian Williamson, and we just go around schools and we spread the message about anti-bullying through singing, acting, and dancing.
Amazing. And you all can be found where?
What's
your social medias and stuff?
Yeah, you could go at safemusicsaveme.com and then click on cast, and all of our names will be there, so you can find all of our social media just by clicking on all of our names. So that's just a really good way to get there.
Would you like to reiterate something, Nick? Because we could barely hear. Did you want to reiterate something?
Yes. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Save the Music, Save Me. And all of our personal stuff, you could just link it right off those pages.
I love it. You guys got to follow these young people. They are really, really doing amazing things. They're anti-bully. They have a message with them. They are believers of the Lord. They love Him, and they are obedient to God. You cannot beat that. They are going to shake the nations up outside of religious bondage. Is that right, Nick?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Y'all been sent to set the campus free, and you got Adrian Williamson. He's also the writer and producer of Excel.
Yes.
Dr. Gina's show coming out soon. Now you guys got to keep posted on that. But he's also with them. My grandmother prayed for me. He's done a numerous of awesome things, and anything that his hands is on is anointed, gifted, and blessed. Trust me on that. He's got favor on him, and anyone connected to him is truly reaping benefits from it. Well, I love you guys. I met you once at the Zora Fest, and you guys did amazing. So
thank you.
Look forward to working with you all again in the near future, and I know you will be on Excel representing on television, so I look forward to having you there for that. I know Adrian's going to make sure you all are there because he's producing the show, so I know he's going to make sure you're there. I know you hear me, Adrian. Love you. Anyway, all right, you guys have a wonderful day, and thanks again for joining me on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Tell everybody they need to listen now. You got to tell everybody they need to listen. It's worldwide internet radio. Anybody can call in and listen.
All right. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. You. See you later.
Freedom and deliverance are available to you in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny by Dr. Gina R. Prince.
One woman's story is everyone's struggle in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny. Available now at drginaprince.com.
We're getting ready for Pastor Isaiah's five-minute segment, Kingdom Keys. I hope you're ready because he's got a powerful message for you.
This is Pastor Isaiah with your Kingdom Key. I was thinking of the idea of supporting one another, and I thought about the fact that most people, generally speaking, at some point in their lifetime can attest to having twisted an ankle, whether it was due to something as simple as making a misstep or they were engaged in some recreational or athletic contest. Many can remember the feeling and the discomfort of hurting their ankle, at which time would cause a need for support. I can remember personally wrapping my ankle in an ACE bandage or an ankle brace in order to support by providing as stable an environment as possible. And since the ankle, in most cases, was still functional, the objective of the brace was to provide as much stability while the ankle heals. And oftentimes in life, people find themselves in the condition of the ankle, hurt but still expected to function. And contrary to one experiencing a hurt ankle, we cannot take 6 weeks off from life in order to heal. And that, my friends, has become one of the great trials of life, being able to function while hurt. Many people are functioning today with a great level of discomfort or hurt. So how do we support one another? I propose to you the best way to support our brothers and sisters is by offering as stable a spiritual environment as possible. In a life full of ups and downs, one of the most impactful things that we can do is to help our brothers and sisters emotionally and spiritually stabilize. In fact, this is one of the great benefits of being in Christ, for it is recorded in Psalm 16:5, Lord, you give me stability and prosperity. You make my future secure. This is Pastor Isaiah with your Kingdom Key.
Oh, I think that word was on point because, you know, just what we're talking about, just support. You know, I really feel like we need to support one another and understand what people are going through. People act out when they're in pain. They act out when they're hurting, when they're disappointed, when they're frustrated. You know, people are going through. I mean, you know, honestly, people are really a paycheck away from poverty. As people are struggling as single parents, people are really going through sometimes loneliness. People, and I'm just talking to people, people are dealing with loneliness, and they could be in a crowded room and still feel like they're all alone. they can feel like they're the only ones going through. Everybody else is getting, you know, breakthroughs, and it sounds like everybody's, you know, going through. And sometimes we get so caught up in our own celebration that we forget that other people are going through, and they may not be able to grasp onto that joy with you because they're really going through. I think about Jonah. He wanted to die. He was so upset, you know, that God asked him to do that. And, you know, I think about Elijah. He wanted to die because he was going through something that was a, you know, a trial and a struggle for him. You know, some people are really going through so much that they just living, and but they're not living. They're going through life every day, and they're just really not living. So I really appreciate Pastor Isaiah for that message. You know, the supporting one another is such a powerful message. And I think that it was a great support through stability is the name of that. Support through stability is what we need as the body of Christ. We need to support and be a stable batch of folks. You know, we're going out here ministering to people. We need to be stable. Ask God to stabilize your mind. Ask God to stabilize your heart, your emotions. Stabilize your finances. Stabilize your household, your children. You know, before we judge and give opinions about others that are just truly lost. Let your light shine as you go through the process. And you know how your light shines? I want to tell you how your light shines. When you're humble. Your light shines when you humble and you surrender to God and saying, I know I'm not perfect. I'm a hot mess. I don't think right all the time. I don't make the right decisions all the time. And I definitely don't include you in everything that I decide to do. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I say what I want to say when I feel like saying it, even though I know that it's wrong, but I feel like I had the right. You don't have a right. You don't have a right. Nothing is justified. And that's the honest to God's truth. What he wants is for you to be honest with him, but most importantly, be honest with yourself. If you keep it 100 with God, your light shines brighter and brighter. None of those disciples was perfect, but yet they went out and healed the sick. They cast out demons and they recovered and they multiplied in souls. Aren't you ready to be used by God even in your imperfection? We need to stabilize one another. Now, with all of that being said and done, I know A-Train getting ready to bring something funny. I know you got something to say about what we've been talking about. Give us, lighten the mood a little bit. You know, maybe he can tell a little bit about his testimony and how he, you know, does comedic work in the secular industry and in gospel and how he's received both ways. You know, let's talk about that. All right. He's coming up next.
Hey, yo, what's up? Hey, yo, what's happening? It's the big homie, Life Jennings right here, man. And listen, you are listening to Dr. Gina's radio chat, man. So whatever else you chatting about, put that chat on pause, man, and turn this chat right here up, man. Dr. Gina, Life Jennings. Yeah.
All right. A-Train, are you up in the house now?
You know I'm up in this house. What's going on, Miss Lady?
Not much. I don't know if you had a chance to keep up with what was going on, but we've been talking about hypocrisy in the church and, you know, what God is doing, you know, with his people, how we're being, yeah. You know, he's breaking down religious barriers and allowing us and leading us actually into the secular world to pull some folks out. What you think about that, A-Train?
I think it's very timely because we were just having this conversation for the last few days this week. Since the Kirk Franklin concert, of course, you know, I had to host and MC the Kirk Franklin concert that took place here in Jacksonville, Florida. And that incident that took place in the concert actually went viral. And I know a lot of our listeners may be familiar with the video that Kirk Franklin had to go viral, where he was singing. He was in the middle of worship and he passed the microphone to some people in the audience, and he started off with this guy and kind of find out this guy was in the middle of dialysis and he was just really singing, and then his song turned into like a personal intercession and like somebody literally at the throne of God, like making a petition for themselves, and it totally changed the atmosphere in that place, so much so that Kirk just couldn't do anything. He just had to just hold this guy and lay him on his shoulder and just, you know, intercede together. So my point was, since that happened over the weekend, my wife and I was talking about, now we understand Kirk Franklin so much better, because, you know, when he started out, he was merging seemingly like hip hop with, you know, Christian music, and the church went crazy. They wasn't receiving it. They thought it was rebellion. But mm-hmm. now we understood how that guy has bridged two worlds. Same thing that you're talking about, like bringing light to a certain dimension that other folk can't bring it to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it's very relevant. And, you know, talking about hypocrisy and all of that, and even like for what I do in my line of work, you know, as a comedian, as a clean comedian going into these different venues that are not really open to, you know, clean comedians or you know, what they refer to as a Christian comedian. I'm not a Christian comedian, it's just that I'm clean. But I receive a little flack.
Yeah, you don't want to be you don't want to be labeled, you know, so you can get out there.
Exactly. So, and it's just that I am who I am, you know, and I just take that on stage. And then, you know, but it's also ministering to other people. And a guy just told me on Sunday night, he was like, he said, I've never seen clean comedy before. He said, I've heard about it. He said, but I've never witnessed it before. He said, but I'm letting you know, man, I'm hooked. I'm sold. He said, I enjoyed you. He's like, when is the next time you're performing? Because I want to be at all of your shows. And my point is, you know, this is an area of ministry, so to speak. You know, God used different people in different areas, and he gives us all different lanes. And a lot of that hypocrisy that's going on in church is tearing down a lot of vessels that God has intended, you know, to use. You know, but we've been, you know, we have to come up against all of the flack of these fake people out there manipulating certain situations. You know what I mean? And, you know, and Life Jennings, you know, we had the opportunity to work with him a few months ago. And this brother really talked about like pursuing your dreams or pursuing your passions. And I was just watching a video yesterday with Deion Cole, comedian Deion Cole, who writes for Conan O'Brien. And he's been writing for Conan for a few years. But he shared a video yesterday about, he was like, man, I've been writing for Conan for a couple of years. He said, but I can't tell you the number of times that I've rehearsed skits with him and sat down, you know, on the stage, you know, writing material with him. And I looked over at that chair and I would say within myself, one day it would be me in the chair that Conan is interviewing. And he said that was a dream of his. That's what he believed God for. And he was like, and at this point in time, it came to pass, because yesterday he got a chance to be the person in the chair that Conan got a chance to interview. And his whole message was, don't stop believing. You know, put your dreams out there. Let God know what it is that you really want, because people, it can come to pass. So I think, you know, this whole subject that, you know, we're dealing with today, man, I think it's needed, it's relevant. And I just want to let somebody know out there that's listening to us, man, don't be moved by some of the hypocrisy that you see taking place in the church. Don't let that stop you from doing what you know you have in your heart to do, and connect with the things that you know you're supposed to connect with. Just step beyond that and pursue your dreams, pursue God, do what you do, and do not take it to the grave, as Dr. Miles Monroe says.
I totally agree with that. And when you said, you know, when you petition your dreams, a lot of people, how about that God gives you those dreams? He gives you that.
Right.
Let me tell you, everything about you, he created. You know, he created. Right. He knows exactly all of the great things that you think about and all of the good things. Because it says, think on the things that are good and lovely and pure. All of those things, those are God things. Anything that has something to do with helping people, to advance people, those are all godly things. Now, the things that we struggle with, those are things that we were born through. We had picked up from our, you know, genealogy through the years. It's generational, or, you know, habits that we picked up from way back in Adam and Eve. You know, disobedience came from them. So a lot of times, you know, we really dealing with those things. But those things that he gives you, the dream, he said he'll give you the desires of your heart, because he put them there. He put them there. You know, what it is that he doesn't want them to control us. So when he gets us to these places and put us in these positions, it will still be all about him. We will remain humble because it's not the position that's making us. It's God that's making us. It's him that brought us there. I'm telling you, because even just this weekend, I was at a Young Jeezy and a Lloyd, and I don't even know what other people, because I don't even know half these people. I ain't being funny, but I don't. I mean, I y'all lost me, I'm being honest, in 2000 after Biggie died. So I don't know what's going on now. I try to keep up, but I don't know. But my thing is that I was invited to come to this event. And so, yeah, all I heard was MF, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and all of that. But how about God had me on the stage praying for folks? I mean, how about he had me up there praying and interacting for people? And once it was done, he told me to leave. I think I was there for like 40 minutes. I don't even think I was there that long. I had a dressing room I was in waiting. I was, you know, they treated me good. I had a driver to come pick me up and all that. But see, God did all of that so I can do what he wanted me to do. He trusted me to go out there and release his word over those people. Now, I don't know.
His love and not judgment, you know?
Yes, and I met with them and talked to them and anyway, but but what I'm saying is it was Pastor Shirley Caesar, which you was there, you know, with me with that Pastor Shirley Caesar.
Yes, and you
did
an awesome job hosting that event, by the way, to our listening audience. You all should have been in the building to see Dr. Gina do her thing. She changed outfits at least 13 that time, like Donna Ross used to do.
I came out and A-Train was like, okay, Donna Ross.
It was appropriate to do because, I mean, you were on a platform with a living legend. And you showed the respect and the honor of such. So, I mean, I commend you on how you hosted that event and you played your role as the MC and you catered to the legend that we were sharing that stage with. So that was awesome.
Oh, God bless you. Love you. I love you. I was so glad you were able to there. We talked about Dr. Gina's radio chat. And anyway, it was just good to have familiar faces backstage with me and everything. So it was great. And the support was amazing. And everybody in Jacksonville was awesome. But then even from that, and then going to Jeezy, and then going the next day on, you know, Gospel Inspiration on the radio with Pastor Eddie. And he was there too, him and his wife Apostle Crystal. She was there too at the Jeezy event too, prior to the radio, because it was a Unifest. It was for the city was putting together, to bring unity and stuff like that. But what I'm saying is that at the beginning it was God, and at the end it was God to the weekend. But guess what? He saturated the in between with him too. You see what I'm saying? So that's the thing that I really, when you look at it like that, you're like, wow, God was really, you know, look at what he did, you know. And that's what I'm saying. I feel like even if you're not called to this type of ministry, wouldn't you agree, A-Train? Even if you're not called to this type of ministry, don't judge and ridicule those that God has chosen that he can trust to do it. He might not can't trust you to do it. You might get up there and start forgetting. You might start thinking you little Kim. I mean, you know, he might not be.
God forbid. God forbid.
He might not can't trust you because you might start, you know, I don't know, start to be an MC or something. I don't know, but I'm just saying.
You know, the thing about, I mean, what you're saying is really important. And I'll just share, you know, a little side of like, I guess my story, but not from the standpoint of saying I'm worthy, you know, because it has nothing to do with that. It's all a gift.
With both of us. That's not what we're saying. Yep.
Right. But at the same time, it does make sense when I look up and I see the arenas that God has opened the doors for me to be placed within. For example, you know, in comedy, most comedians, they get tripped up by either drugs, alcohol, or, you know, loose women. You know what I'm saying? Or running with women or whatever. Those are the main three things that trip up a comedian, you know, in this industry. But that, if you look at it, Dr. Gina, it makes more sense to me now why it is that, hey, me being 40 years old, going on 41, I have never had a sip of alcohol a day in my life. No wine, no beer, not a taste, nothing. And I grew up in the hood. It was all around me. But I've never touched any form of alcohol. I've never smoked anything in my life. Never tried a cigarette, never tried a joint. I've never, sold drugs, anything like that. And I keep my wife with me. This November, we'll be married 19 years. And my thing is, it makes sense to me now. It's like, hey, I'm going to drop you in this environment so that, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, Jesus to teach, don't operate in such a way where the enemy doesn't have any footing in you.
Yes.
So it's like I'm over here doing my thing. But guess what? You can also say that I've been equipped. So you can't just jump up and do things like if you're struggling with certain things, you don't need to be in certain environments.
if you're struggling,
you don't need to, you don't need to be in that environment. But
yeah,
because none of
and keep it real, you struggling.
Right.
If you even thinking about it, it's a struggle. You gotta know that you ain't got a struggle to know that you ain't in a struggle.
Right. And there's some things you know you just can't get me on. So I'm in certain environments, but at the same time. You know, I'm good. I'm not going to be tripped up with this or that or the other because that's not even me. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. Like, that's a good point.
Yeah. So I just wanted people to hear some of the back ends of some of the things that they maybe not be privy to. Like, for example, you know, things that I'm sharing, like my story or whatever. So it's more than, A-Train is a clean comedian, but he's over in these comedy clubs. And, you know, they smoke, they drink and curse and all that. But that's because none of that, I'm not going to get tripped up or pulled into any of that because mm-hmm. I've been doing what I'm doing 41 plus years. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to put that. I don't know if that makes sense, if I really made that clear enough, but it kind of adds to what
it makes sense.
Saying.
It brings another perspective to the situation because not necessarily are people fame hungry or weak in that area where they want people to love them, you know, like people pleasing and seeking approval and attention, but it could be a substance issue. You know, if you struggle with something, or women or men, you know, if you loose as a goose, you know, he may not ask you to go into these environments because he knows where your struggle is, you know? And if you want to be trusted with these things, then you have to be trustworthy, which means you, again, it goes back to being honest. Being honest with God and being honest with yourself. And that's the reason why David kept getting elevated. And that's why Peter got chose again, you know, reestablishing his position. And that's why Paul kept getting it in. Because they were real about it. You got to be 100% with God. Whatever it is, you got to be honest with yourself and be honest with God. You can't walk around here acting like you got it together and you know you don't. Because that's false.
That's not
showing God's mercy. That's not showing his grace. You know what I mean? So I think this was really good. I wanted to God, it was something else that I was saying that you had spoke about. But I just feel like it's just a great opportunity just to really Mary, I wanted to say about Erica Campbell. Look at how God has opened doors for her. She married Warren, who was the producer and writer with and won a Grammys with what's his name? Tupac Shakur and they got on her because she had a tight-fitting white dress, and they got mad because she said, I love God, and had it behind a trap music. But look at how God keeping her busy. She keep on moving, keep spreading the gospel, keep doors, keep opening. You don't know what God is doing. You can't judge if you don't know him for yourself. If you know God, then you know how he moves, and you'll know that he moved through the prostitutes, the drunks, and all of them, the lepers, and all of them through Jesus Christ. That's why he created Jesus, so he can be God on the earth, walking in the monks so he can understand and know what we're dealing with. And that's why Jesus is our mercy and our grace through the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Right.
All right. Well, we're getting ready to close out. We don't have these shows that often, A-Train. I'm glad that you were able to go with the flow and share with the people your testimony. We got a couple of seconds. Can you go ahead and tell people how to reach you again?
Absolutely. They can reach me on Twitter at A-Train Live. I'm on Periscope at A-Train Live. I'm on Instagram under Do It Again and See What Happens. That's right, spelled all the way out, Do It Again and See What Happens. And that's my Facebook page as well. And you can also find me on Facebook as well under A-Train Live, The Experience. So I'm all over the place. And I'll be in Orlando on the 17th and 18th of this month at Bonkers Comedy Club. Also, I want to talk about my show coming up on the 23rd of July. Michael Jr., which is the largest Christian comedian in the country. Michael Jr. and myself will be hitting the stage together here in Jacksonville, Florida on July 23rd. You can go to my bio on my Twitter page for tickets with that, and come on out.
All right. Well, you heard it from the man himself, A-Train. All right, you guys, we got to go. I love you. You know I'm on all social media and all that. Go get that book, Born into Sin, Transform into Destiny, at a bookstore near you or a library. I love you. Live healthy, live whole, live in destiny. I love you, Dr. Gina. Saying goodbye. Bye now.
Freedom and deliverance are available to you and Born into Sin, Transformed into Destiny by Dr. Gina R. Prince. One woman's story is everyone's struggle, and Born into Sin, Transformed into Destiny. Available now at drginaprince.com.
Dr. Gina's Radio Check.